Gary Young on the line. He's in Kunu. I believe you've been to the Mandela Museum there, Gary. What did you see?
That's right. They put out the flame, which flickers just in front of a picture of Mandela as a young man. And underneath the picture it says, "It always seems possible until it's done." And the backdrop to that was a 21-gun salute as they lay, well, after they laid the coffin in the ground. And so as the flame went out, the smoke rose over, the smoke from the guns rose over the valley. It was very kind of a moving moment. And the officiant at that ceremony said, as the flame was being put out, "Rest in peace, the father of our nation, the father of our democracy, the keeper of our hopes, may you rest in peace." It was a very moving moment, and the first time really, because so much of the commemoration has really been jubilant. It was the first time I personally got a little bit teary. I mean, I've been covering this story since 1994, when Mandela was first elected, and somehow there was a finality about the flame, the extinguishing of the flame, that was very moving. And the backdrop of this beautiful valley with its kind of sloping hills, and the smoke coming up, the 21-gun salute, and the notion that this boy who had been raised in this valley under one of the more brutal racist regimes of the time, and one must remember that most regimes in Africa were racist of the time, the site where this kind of child was a goat herder and also part of Tembu royalty also, but whose father, when he went to school, his father cut off his trousers and then put string around his waist, that boy would be commemorated by kings and world leaders in the same place. And that journey, that kind of miraculous journey, really would have come to an end in the way that we did. That was really what kind of choked me up.
Yes. And you tweeted earlier that how impressive it was to think of a black man standing up in an armed struggle against a racist state and ending up leading that state and then dying peacefully in his bed. Could you expand upon that a little?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think of what usually happens to people particularly black people, when they take these stands against racist regimes, think of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Steve Biko, Chris Harney, they don't usually get to die in their bed. They're usually slain as young people. And one of the things that I think is miraculous about Mandela's trajectory is that he was the leader of an armed struggle. It wasn't just him, it was the movement, and that's important to remember. But if we talk about him for the moment, because he's died, he was leader of an armed struggle. He was in prison for 27 years. It's unlikely in those circumstances that person then comes out of jail, leads a transition, is leader, and then gets to die as an old man peacefully in his bed. And that's one of the things. When one looks at the history of black leadership around the world, it's generally of people who have fallen before their time because of the nature of the regimes that they are facing. That didn't happen to him. He actually, his long walk to freedom went all the way.
Mm. And who did you watch the funeral with?
Well, with a range of people. I was I went into Umtata, which is the nearest big town, still a small town, but we went to a township there and spoke to people who were watching it on the big screen. An old lady who said, I'm here because he freed us from bondage. And interestingly, even though she said that, she lost a son in the apartheid years who was killed in a stampede as kids were running away from the apartheid police. But she lives in a shack, and she still lives in a shack. I said, what's changed to you? And she said that she was still living in a shack, but that she thought that she would get a home soon. So you get a sense of the degree to which, when people talk about Mandela's patience and Mandela's ability to forgive and reconcile, the degree to which that is mirrored in the patience that many Black South Africans have had to have in terms of getting their due. This is still a transitional period. So I spoke to her. I spoke to some young women who were kids when Mandela came out of prison. I mean, everybody has their Mandela story, you know, a bit like JFK when he was assassinated. They remember where they were, where they were huddled around a television set or a radio. But that they remembered him coming out, but they said, look, you know, what we have because of the freedom that he gave us. One was a nurse, the other was a teacher. Both of them said that they wouldn't have been able to do their courses were it not for Mandela and train for their work if it hadn't been for Mandela and the ANC. It was a much more somber day today than previous days. And I know this was a day when he was laid to rest, one might expect that. But I must say, most of what I've seen in the 10 days or so since I've been here has been one of celebration and jubilation. And today was much quieter, and people were much more somber, much less effusive than they had been.
Yeah. Well, Gary Young, thank you very much.